Good morning, everyone. The title of this final Rector's Conference is Being a Seminarian Outside of the Seminary. I first want to thank you all for a great year. It's been a fast year, a good year, a demanding year, and hopefully one that you find full of grace. I would like to begin with the passage from St. John's Gospel, chapter 21. I tell you solemnly, as a young man, you fastened your belt and went about as you pleased. But when you are older, you will stretch out your hands, and another will tie you fast and carry you off against your will. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to him, "Follow me." My dear sons of the church, that was the interaction between our Lord and Saint Peter after the resurrection. It's a reminder that this time that we have before the Lord, before your ordination, is a time that prepares you to follow the Lord in whatever ways that he demands. And of course, we know that is the whole purpose of our vocation in serving the church. What drives a seminarian? During these years when you're here at the seminary, you have a motivation of wanting to save souls. You have a zealous desire to bring the truth of the gospel to people. You have a desire to celebrate the holy sacraments of the church. Your discernment, however, begins with your understanding of what it means to be a good Catholic man. Of course, this is the sentiment of St. John Paul II in Pastoris Deo Vobis, that the human dimension of priestly formation is the basis of all formation. I would call this the Renaissance man, a man who is open to the good things that culture can provide to us, music, the arts, the sciences, the ways in which man is able to explore, to invent. He's open to culture. We are never countercultural. The church is pro-culture because it's within the context of culture that man discovers his vocation, why he exists. It's within culture that the Lord speaks to him. And so we, of course, are never countercultural. We discern ways in which we can purify culture, promote culture, build up culture, and sometimes, yes, we indeed are counter-societal because it's society that produces all that which can promote culture or tear it down. So yeah, sometimes we have to be counter-societal. But the Renaissance man is the Renaissance priest, a man who's always engaged with culture. And so how does your love of Christ drive you? I have said often that when we priests minister to God's people, we do so out of a relationship with the Lord. As we hear in that Gospel of St. John, there was a deep intimacy. Indeed, our experience of Jesus is personal, but it's never private. Our experience of the church is very personal, but it's never private. It's God's will that he gathers us as a flock. He gathers us as a people who are in relationship to him as a people, as the body of Christ. So there's never a private affair between us and our Lord. Here in the seminary, as brothers, the church would expect that you're able to talk to each other about your relationship with the Lord. As personal as it can be to you uniquely, nevertheless, if you're not able to speak to one another as brothers of how the Lord has touched you, inspires you, and continues to lead you, then how are we going to do that as shepherds of the church? And so in this apostolic community in which the Lord has gathered all of you, with the diversity that we have, the cultural diversity, language, ethnicity, age, experience, all of this is what promotes this community to be an apostolic community. We often speak here, for those of you who are in the diocesan community here at Notre Dame Seminary about what we mean by diocesan priestly spirituality. For those of you in consecrated life, as you know in your evaluations, I often ask you to be very clear and in articulating the particular charisms of your religious community, even though you're living your formation within this diocesan seminary. How are you able to promote those charisms even here at the seminary as you anticipate future ministry? But for the rest of you, what do we mean by diocesan priestly spirituality? Because at the core of that question, the answer to that question is, again, that motivation of why you approach your formation the way you do. I reminded the fourth year deacons just a couple of weeks ago that per seminarian, the people of God provide nearly $250,000 for your formation over your 6 to 8 years, your time here. And so we know that when we get up in the morning, that the resources that are given to us must be used deliberately and generously, because this is what the people of God are expecting, that when you are ordained, that you would have taken advantage of everything at your disposal. Now, that's not the primary motivation, of course, is that we're simply going to work hard because people paid for it, but it is an aspect that does relate to diocesan priestly spirituality, because we draw our spirituality from the very people whom we're going to be serving. This is what we mean by spiritual fatherhood, right? A fatherhood is devoted to his spouse. He's devoted to his family, and that inspires him to work, to get a job, to provide, to, in a sense, emulate the great virtues of Saint Joseph, who was inspired to protect and to nurture, to love Our Lady, as well as Our Lord as well. And so diocesan priestly spirituality, which you will discuss with your spiritual directors, is a basis of what inspires you each and every day when you go through your formation and as you embrace the demands of this formation program here at Notre Dame Seminary. We're wrapping up the year here, and as I mentioned, the title of this conference is Being a Seminarian Outside of the Seminary. A note here. I would expect that everyone here is going to complete this semester on a positive note. I know that while you all are called to be brothers, I'm called to be your spiritual father, and you are seen as spiritual sons of the church. Certainly, perfection doesn't always prevail, but charity should always prevail. And so the relationship that you have with each other, is there something that needs to be reconciled? Is there a tension, an argument, a friction that needs to be addressed before you leave? Leave here before you enter into the summer months with good reconciliation. Our Holy Father has called for a jubilee of mercy. And of course, we all want to open our hearts and minds to the mercy of God, but we also must be open to giving and living that mercy to each other. So before this semester ends, in these next couple of weeks, I would expect that each of you go to your brother and make amends for whatever tension there might be. Similarly with the faculty. If you have a beef with a faculty member, rather than holding it in and being cynical and pessimistic and talking behind our backs, go to, we're all adults here, sit down and say, look, I need to get something off my chest. And that goes with me as well. I'm not a perfect rector. I know what my faults are, and in some regards, I think you know them more than I do as well. So I would expect that if there's something that's bristling you, come to me and let's sit down and let me be the best father that I can be, as you, as obedient sons, can be to the church. I would expect that you will make attention to your responsibilities here. I know the temptation is to unplug, to start checking out. No, let's get to the finish line on a very strong, hard, positive note. Let's work to the end here. And so whatever your responsibilities are with academics, with the community, with social life, your commitment to your diocese, religious orders, whatever expectations there are, let's finish those out in a strong way. Here we are. It's the spring. We're in New Orleans. Jazz Fest is coming up. We just had the French Quarter Festival. There's the golf tournament that's going to be this weekend. There's a lot going on in New Orleans. And as you've heard me say before, we may have a small physical campus, but the New Orleans is really our campus, and we do take advantage of all the good things that are made available to us. However, I was disappointed last year when I was hearing a number of scenarios where seminarians were going off campus and they were not being tempered, abusing food and alcohol, breaking curfew, and I addressed that with those particular seminarians. I think as adults and as men of temperance, promoting simplicity of life, I would expect it. You can enjoy what the city has to offer during these spring weeks and months, but doing so appropriately and with temperance. As we move into the summer months here, I would have expected by now that you have addressed with your spiritual director and with your formation advisor ways in which you're going to maintain the aurarium. First of all, daily mass and your prayer life. Depending on when your assignments begin, when you get home, how are you going to get to daily mass? Where are you going to go to daily mass? Have you calculated what that's going to look like, particularly if there's transportation issues? Maybe there's only one family vehicle and your parents are working. Let's think ahead here on how you're going to be able to be present to the Lord as you worship Him each day in the celebration of the Mass. The Liturgy of the Hours, obviously those of you who are further along in theology, you have mastered praying the 5 hours. You've incorporated that into your life. It truly is an aurarium that sort of guides and motivates each of your days. For those of you who have just been introduced this past year as new seminarians to the Liturgy of the Hours, be very deliberate and specific in how you're going to maintain what you've been able to accomplish thus far. Going to confession. I can't tell you, dear sons, how important the regularity of that sacrament being celebrated is for each of you, and for certainly us priests as well. Who are you going to go to confession to? For those of you who are in a parish assignment, will you go to the pastor, the parochial vicar? Sometimes prudence would dictate otherwise, but you'll talk about that with your spiritual director. How are you going to do this? Where are you going to do this? Who are you going to be going to? I would expect accountability in the external forum when you get back, as we ask you how you were able to accomplish that goal. Maintaining contact with your spiritual director and your formation advisor. I would be very alarmed that after three and a half months that you would return here in the fall and then to learn that you never once had any communication with your spiritual director or formation advisor. I know as rector, I will try to be in contact with all of you personally. I will still do a daily update, a weekly update, just to provide you general information of what's happening here during the seminary. But on a formational basis, I'll try my best to maintain contact with you. But please know that I'm available. If there's a question, if there's a concern, if there's a difficulty, you have an intention that needs to be prayed for, please be in contact with me, but certainly with your spiritual director and your formation advisor. You know, we often talk about the four dimensions of priestly formation, and sometimes there's the temptation for some of you to think that all four pillars have to be operational at the same level and the same intensity. And as you've come to understand, that is not reality. All four dimensions of formation must always be engaged. There's never a moment where one pillar is shut off, suspended. You hit the pause button. But there are moments like an equalizer, as you look at an equalizer, where there's an ebb and flow to how we're engaged with those four dimensions. So as we move into the summer, it's true, you won't be asked to be doing 10, 12 hours of reading or writing papers per se, but we don't want to suspend the intellectual dimension of priestly formation. while the pastoral dimension of your formation and hopefully your spiritual and your human dimension will certainly be engaged and accentuated during the summer, we don't want to suspend the intellectual formation. So maybe looking at the curriculum for the fall, the syllabi, or even beyond the academics, intellectual formation as it relates to good literature. And maybe there's something you want to research for your own personal edification. Think about this and talk with your formation advisor of how the intellectual dimension of formation will be engaged this summer. The ecclesial dimension of formation is essential to our formation as we discern how we're going to serve the church in a practical way as the church relates to us in the local level. So while you're at home this summer, getting adjusted to the ecclesial mindset of your bishop or your superior, your vocation director, your pastor, what's happening back in your diocese, how can you be proactive in reaching out to the presbyterate, getting to know the priest a little bit better? While you're here at the seminary, I know I've encouraged you to keep up to date with your diocesan newspapers, with bulletins, the parish bulletin. But now that you're going to be at home, most of you, you should take a certain responsibility of allowing the ecclesial dimension of your local church to touch upon your own personal formation. As you get home, sometimes there are challenges that are waiting for you, and you're going to have to be able to determine how you're going to engage those challenges. For example, there may be some significant family issues occurring right now. Maybe there's a difficulty with your folks' marriages, with siblings. Maybe there's financial situations in the family. Maybe you have a cousin, a sibling who is struggling with their faith, maybe even preparing to move outside of the faith, getting married outside of the church. Substance abuse. Maybe there's a health issue with a family member. How are you going to be a good son, a good brother, a good cousin in these situations, while at the same time being sure that you have governance and capacity over your formation, setting up certain boundaries that doesn't prevent you from being the family member that you need to be, but at the same time that you're keeping focus on the responsibilities that the church is putting before you. I know it's a fine line. It's a fine line between how you can be present to those situations, but at the same time where you need to put a little bit of space so that you can engage your other responsibilities. The other challenge often is family perceptions, especially for you new seminarians. Come here, and often there is a growth that occurs in ways that maybe you don't see it, but you go back home and your family sees it, and they may be challenged by that. You know, who do you think you are? I know who you really are. Don't be acting more holy than we are. Some of those sentiments. As you, again, try to go to daily Mass, and you're praying the Liturgy of the Hours, and you have family members seeing you do things that are a little bit different from how they saw you before you came into the seminary, that can create a little bit of attention. And so be patient. It's really a curiosity that your friends and your family members may have about how you're moving through your formation and your discernment. Sometimes we experience, when we're back at home, clergy who don't know what to do with you. Maybe they feel a little bit threatened. Maybe they are uninviting, and you feel like you're just simply interfering, that you're a guest. And that could be hurtful. I understand that. I hear that often from you all. Again, be patient. Know that the church loves you. And while there can be sometimes some friction, again, a certain type of curiosity, please don't let that interfere with how the church is seeing you and viewing you as well. I already touched upon this in some ways, but when it comes to the public social responsibility of seminarians, especially during the summer months where there'll be the 4th of July gatherings, there's the weddings, we're into the season of First Holy Communions, and all of these occasions provide for social opportunities. So, gentlemen, know that please be engaged in those situations, but respect the virtue of temperance, the use of alcohol. How long do we stay at these social settings? When is it time to go home? How am I dressing? What's my appearance? What is my conversation looking like? My use of language. Let's now that you're a seminary and you have a particular relationship with the church that requires example and standard. Leisure versus laziness. Hopefully this summer you'll find occasion for good rest. Don't stumble into those days off. Know what that time can be used for your leisure and how that can build you up. If you wake up in the morning and, oh, it's my day off, and you sort of just slum around the rectory or your home playing video games, and next thing you know the day's half over with, that's really not leisure. That's laziness, which is not going to fill you up. It's not going to energize you. It's, if anything, it's going to pull you down into a sloth rather than a level of virtue that's going to keep us moving forward. It's been a great year. These past couple of years, we've continued to build up, I think, a very, very good faculty with the addition of Dr. Miller, Mr. Sakasa, Mr. Piazza, Dr. Neal, who's in a new position as academic dean, Father Palm, who came on full board here as director of homiletics, Father Deo, who's been with us but now is completing his second year as the vice rector. This summer, we're going to welcome Father Jeffrey Munce as a full-time spiritual director here. He'll be coming back from Rome with his licentiate. Next week, we'll be beginning the process to finalize the appointment of a new Old Testament scripture. We had 15 applicants. Two of them are superstars. So either way, we're going to hit a home run and be able to bring aboard an excellent, outstanding scripture professor. Chris Domain will be moving off to greener pastures in the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux as the director of the Lumen Christi Retreat Center. This will provide us an opportunity to appoint a director of facilities who will have the same interest and skills as Chris. But even beyond that, now that we have a significant upgrade in our facilities, especially with the mechanical and the HVAC facilities that are here, we need someone who is certified and who's able to engage the modern technology that we have before us. So I'm very excited about the possibility. The registrar and the office there is, we hire a new administrative assistant that'll be completed in the next couple of weeks as well. So when you fellas get back here in the fall, again, we're going to have an excellent team of staff and faculty to serve you. Trying to keep the promise. My promise to you is that there would be no defilement here at Notre Dame Seminary. And I recognize, again, we're all sinners. None of us are perfect. And so I would like you to reflect, how have you defiled this seminary this past year? In your actions, in your words, in your lack of charity, failing to do what you should have done, issues related to chastity, personal chastity in this community, addiction to pornography, masturbation, lust. How has this community been defiled because of your actions? Now, obviously, we go to confession, we celebrate the sacrament of reconciliation, but beyond that, in that personal discernment, what amends do we need to do? What type of penance that we need to do on a personal level to be sure that this community is always being purified by God's grace and by God's blessings? As you know, I celebrate a mass of reparation every December 31st for the sins that have been committed on this campus. As we conclude this academic year and as we move into the summer weeks, I think each of us needs to take personal accountability for the ways in which we have not been faithful to Our Lady's House, Notre Dame Seminary, ways in which we have defiled it. So I'll leave it at that and to your discernment there. In conclusion, as we move into the summer months, for you to be good, holy, energetic seminarians of the church, living the role of life in the orarium when you're not on this campus, at the end of the day is what the church is asking of you. Men of integrity, men who have integrated all that we try to do here during the school year into yourselves so that in your capacity, you're able to move into all of these different situations in the summer with freedom and with ease. And when there are those difficulties, you're going to reach out to each other. You're going to reach out to me. You're going to reach out to your spiritual director and formation advisors. And that is a good sign as well that you know how to use the instruments at your disposal rather than trying to interiorize those difficulties and those struggles in a way in which suppression only leads to future difficulties. Again, it's been a great year. My commitment to you is to try to live my priesthood, which is Jesus's priesthood, the best way that I can so that you have access to the Lord's priesthood through me as your pastor, as the spiritual father of this house. If I have ever said anything this past year, done anything, or I have not done anything that you have taken offense at, I apologize right now, and I make myself available to bring reconciliation to those moments. So please see me. Otherwise, let's pray for one another. Please pray for me. I will pray for you. Pray for the staff and the faculty here at Notre Dame Seminary. And we entrust all of this year to Our Lady. And we know that God always provides. Let us praise the Lord and give Him thanks. God bless.